I keep reminding you that this year, every year, this day and every day, that you really need to have one thing in mind when you get up in the morning, that you'll go where God wants you to go, do what God would have you do, and be who God would have you be. So on Friday, you know, they said we're going to get a little bit of snow, and so I was still being lazy around 7:30-ish, and so the phone rings, and it's my friend Mary Lou, and so I didn't answer. I'm thinking, what are you calling for? I'm not up yet. And so, you know how, like, you're like, whoa, what was she calling for? It's like 7:30. Now, I know there's no school. They called at 5 and said there wasn't any school. But I hadn't gotten up yet. And I hadn't really looked outside. And so, got it together and called her back. And she said, hey, remember that conversation we had, and I don't know where it was at a Baptist Methodist gathering. We're all together, and we have lots of friends in this. Ron knows I have my jokes and such, but we're in this together, right? And so Ann Davis was talking about her kidney dialysis, and Priscilla and Mary Lou and the Rice's taker, they were talking about how, if the weather's bad, we don't drive in the winter. And I said, well, I'd be glad to help you out. So Mary Lou says, I said, oh, yeah. She goes, well, listen, she really needs to go today, and I'm not taking her, and Priscilla can't take her, and the Rices can't go, so will you do it? Well, sure, I'll do it. Hadn't gotten up yet. Hadn't looked outside yet. I said, well, sure, I'd be glad to do that. So I, get up and get ready and everything, and Bethany and Grant are still asleep. I said, so I'm going to take Ann Davis to Bridgeport. I'll be back soon. So now, my dog's journey is in the shop again. So I'm using Dad's party van, and so I thought, well, we call it the big party van, as the kids used to call it. So I opened the garage door because it's sitting outside. I think, now they said it was going to be, we're going to get a couple inches of snow. I'm surprised they called school. I thought it was going to be hard. I think, oh, no, I can't take the party van. It won't even move. It's not going to stop. And so I said, no, I'll just take our van. It's all-wheel drive. And I usually don't really get nervous about driving and doing all that. And so that road that goes from our house to Dad's house is kind of scary anyway. So I get to Dad's, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't call and tell him that I'm not going to do this. I don't know if this is going to be a good idea or not. I just don't know if it is. And so I told Dad I was going to, he didn't think it was a good idea either, and he'll go anywhere, right? And I said, well, I'm just going to pray that this works out. And I don't know that Ann even realized how bad it was. So I get to her house, and I saw someone I knew shoveling snow. So I had to go get her shovel off her. Now listen, I don't really even do that at home myself. So I had to shovel like a path, and the whole time I'm thinking, oh God, I don't know if you should do this or not. I don't even really know where I thought. And so then I thought we were going to the hospital. Well, we weren't going to the hospital. We were going to this place in Anmore. And so I'm thinking, oh, gosh, what that's going to be like. And so I went really slow the whole way there. And I just prayed the whole way. So we got there, took about an hour or so. And we get there. And you know what? Ann, the whole time, is like, oh, I really appreciate you doing this. And so we hadn't talked about the ride home yet. And I said, so what time do I come back and get you? She said, oh, I'll be here for like 2 or 3. But Kathleen Pink will come pick me up and say, oh, that'll be great. I hope that, I'm thinking, oh, she has a little car. I hope she can make it. And the roads were horrible. But the whole way, she was just like real appreciative and thankful. And so I said to her, hey, this is what we're supposed to do. I mean, regardless of what church you go to or we all go to, we're doing this. But then I'm thinking, yeah, you got to be smart, too. And I thank God. And so listen, I didn't think about it until I think, oh, now I have to go down Gypsy Hill. And I just heard this here. And then, on the way, too, there, on Meadowbrook Road, there were people in the ditch and stuff and the police. And so I just passed and kept on going because you just got to keep on going or you get stuck. And so on the interstate, I don't know if many people should be out here, but I got her to where she needed to. And I praise the Lord. And you know what? The whole time I kept thinking, this apparently is what God would have me to do and where God would want me to be. So he got me there. He got me back. She got back home. Even Pastor Cindy called me. I really want to thank you for taking her. I said, did you know? Were you asked to take her? She's like, I couldn't take her either. And so we're really thankful to the Baptist preacher. And so I'm just real thankful again I was able to do that. She was so thankful the whole time. And we talked about how it's nice to live in Shinston, how everybody takes care of everybody. We do. But we're supposed to. The family of God, we're supposed to take care of each other. And that doesn't, the family of God is the family of God. It's not the family of Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. It's the family of God. We're to take care of each other, right? And so that's what we're to do. And so, again, if you pray that and you ask God to do that, it'll happen. He'll put you right where he wants you to be. And he'll give you everything you need. And I was actually, seriously, on the way down, I was just kind of sweating. Oh, God, please, just don't let anybody do it. Because that's happened to me before. People have started sliding, and it just causes problems. You know what I mean? And you panic. And so I was never so thankful to be back here to the Baptist church in my entire lifetime. And I actually had to just, like, sit in the car and just kind of, like, you know what I mean? And I'm thinking, I really need a sweet tea, but I just couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop and do that. Because to be honest with you, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, that's okay, I'll take Ann, and then I'll go do some things, and go get some breakfast. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't go anywhere. I just have to go home. And so God will take care of you if you let him, right? God wants to take care of us. And so we need to be reminded of these problems and things that we think are big things. God will help us. But we got to make smart choices too, right? And we talked about planning, and we have our calendar, but God has a calendar and plan for us. So that's what we want. That's what will happen. So this morning, as we gather together and worship on this Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to be studying in Matthew. But before I do that, I want to share this little thing I found about Super Bowl Sunday. So there are these two monkeys, right? And so they're talking to each other. And the one monkey says, hey, you should get as excited about church as you do in a football game. And the other monkey says, I did that once. They asked me to leave. The other monkey says, really? Why? He says, well, after the sermon, I dumped a Gatorade cooler all over the preacher. They asked me to leave. And I thought, well, that's cute. And that's funny. I think about all the preparation and all the money that's really being put into these celebrations today. We get real excited about the Super Bowl. And then I saw where the New Orleans Saints fans were trying to sue because they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. Why would you do that? And they figured it out. People make a big deal about this thing we call football. I mean, Kent sent me this picture and said, hey, I'm at the Super Bowl, and showed me all these pictures of these big ones he was with. I was like, okay. Yeah, I'll be at the Super Bowl party tomorrow at the Lighthouse, and we'll have chips and dip. It'll be great. He's like, hey, I'm in the Super Bowl. I said, well, good. I'm glad you got it. Because that's a big deal to get to the Super Bowl and get tickets. So he knows lots of big wigs because he thinks he gets one, too. So that's great. You know what I mean? So kids at the Super Bowl, I'm like, well, that's great. And they all had, like, suits on at the party they were at. So, well, I'm glad kids at the Super Bowl. It's a big deal, right? It's a big deal. And when we win games, especially if you haven't won a game forever, they throw Gatorade all over you. And, you know, it was funny. We were at the Mountaineer game yesterday, and, you know, we beat Oklahoma, but as we're getting closer to the game, to the end of the game, it looked like we're going to win. Here go the state police down there. I'm thinking, now, what are they going down there for? I mean, I guess they would have thought maybe the students might go crazy because we won our second Big 12 game of the year, and so everyone would be excited about it. But no one really was. You know, I mean, people cheer. You get to sing Country Roads if you win the game. You got to sing Country Roads. But they were probably worried because, you know, they were burning things and playing in the snow on Friday. They're probably worried about that. But I'm thinking, man, we just think, we thought about that. We just make a big deal sometimes about games. They're a big deal to us when our kids are playing. But maybe if a bunch of people get saved today and lots of decisions are made, maybe you should throw lemonade on me or something. I don't know, right? I don't know. Should we get excited about that? I mean, it's really not me doing that. It's Jesus doing that, the movement of the Holy Spirit. So we think about all these things we have going on and things that are happening. If we just get a little bit excited about what God's doing in our lives, because I certainly do. So this morning in Matthew chapter 4, we've been talking about Jesus was born and how when he was born, his parents took care of him and did all the things that were supposed to be, things that we do today. And, you know, and he was growing up, and maybe not a normal childhood as we might think of, but you know, he was growing up, and he was a human being. And so we get to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at verses, actually, 1 through 11 this morning, and to prepare us for communion. But I want you to think about this. And actually, we looked at this in Mark chapter 1 in Bible study, but Jesus was a real person. And so Jesus encountered these things that we encounter. And we're looking here, and we sometimes forget that Jesus was actually tempted. And we're going to look at that this morning because we've begun this new year. People are talking about all these problems and situations. They're worried about the government. They're worried about our school system. We pray for all those things that are happening in government. And Charleston, those are things that are concerning you. You should be praying about it, right? God's bigger than all that, too. And so we think about this morning and Jesus in his life and what he dealt with and went through. So in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus tested, just like you're tested every day. Even me, the pastor, we're tested. And how do we respond to that? And our response sometimes just might be to say, get away. We're going to talk about what that means. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So think about it. Now, most of us, if you go hungry for like 8 hours, you're like really angry and irritable and probably would do anything to get food, right? So here's this situation where Jesus is in the wilderness. He's hungry, he's dire, and he's just probably miserable, right? We would be, right? 40 days, most of us, like I said, like in less than a day would feel that way. So here Jesus is, and again, I believe he's where he's supposed to be, right? It says, led by the Spirit. Are we led by the Spirit? I mean, do we listen to that, the leading of the Holy Spirit? As I keep saying, going to where God would have us to be and doing what he have us to do and realizing he'll enable us and equip us to do whatever it is he calls us to do. And so the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So the devil's saying, well, if you're the Son of God, why would you be hungry? If you're the Son of God, why would you be in this predicament? Why would you, you know? And so, again, Jesus really, throughout this whole scripture we're reading this morning, certainly knows the scripture, knows what God's telling him, and he certainly is obeying it. And so Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So as we look at this morning, here's Jesus. He's having a problem. He's in a situation. It's even Jesus. And he knows that he's gonna trust in God and depend on God and knowing that he'll get him out of this. He'll provide for him. And so I believe at this moment, he's where he's supposed to be. He's being tempted. And so far, he's overcoming this temptation. It says, so then, that's his response. He used scripture. What do you think about that? That was his response to the devil's scripture. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Oh, the devil's using some scripture in your thing. See, the devil uses anything to get us to fall into this sin and do what he wants us to do. And God, on the other hand, certainly we'll do whatever he needs to do to get us to do what he wants to do. Think about it. But with God, all we have to do is just say yes. So here are these two points of temptation. And scripture is being used. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So when you're facing a situation, when you're dealing with a problem, you're trying to overcome temptation and not fall into sin, do you turn to Scripture? Do you turn to God? Do you ask him for help? And so, again, so the devil here is not giving up, right? And he won't. And the devil took him to a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. So here he's looking down. So it's ironic again, as it says here, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And it says, all this, in verse 9, I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. The sign it is. It's God's. God created all things, right? God's the creator of all things. So Jesus is like, who is this guy? He didn't know what he's talking about, right? And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And so finally, the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Sometimes we just need people. We tell people that, "Get away from me," right? When people are bothering us and bugging us, you know, the kids and adults do that too. "Get away from me." You know, right? Or you like say it under your breath or thinking, "I wish you'd really get away from me. I wish you'd get away," right? But we do that when we're tempted. We do that when we are in a situation, we're about to sin. Do we do that? "Get away from me, Satan. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The thing about this is the devil is trying to tempt Jesus. So he's done his homework. I mean, he's referring to Scripture, but Jesus' response, which helped him to overcome this, was Scripture. Not only did he know it, but he was following. He was, and you know, you can have this all, you can have this whole thing memorized. Several times. I read it many, many times. And have this whole book, the Bible, memorized. But if you're not obeying it, I'm not sure why you did all that, right? I mean, it's kind of like when you're going where, just like I heard about these ice packets, not just in my house. "What are we doing all this stuff for? What's this for?" Well, it'll make you a better person, right? It'll make you a better person, right? Do that. I mean, and I don't think people understood that doing that work would cause them to get out when they're supposed to, not to make that day. But we ask these questions, and we go, "Why do we have to do this?" Well, it's like, why would you read the Bible? Because if you know it, then you should be able to use it. So here Jesus is using it. But in this whole temptation thing, there were three areas that Jesus was being tempted in. Physical needs and desire, because so Jesus was hungry, right? So the devil's attacking his physical need and desire because Jesus is tired and he's hungry. And he's like, "Well, I'm going to say it," you know. And again, the devil's like, "If you're who you say you are, then what are you here for? You can turn this pulpit into a lasagna, right? If you're the Son of God, why are you hungry?" You know what I mean? Or you need sweet tea? There it is, right? And so he's attacking a physical need or desire. He's attacking possessions and power. And the third one is pride. Wow. Now think about that. Jesus was born and he lived and he suffered and he died for you. But all the things that he's going through, I mean, if you back up, you know, Jesus, you know, was baptized, and then he's baptized, and then he started to become, that happens to all of us, and that happens. I mean, I remember in youth ministry, man, when kids were coming to Jesus, and souls were being saved, we were baptized, and doing awesome things, and kids were being attacked, I mean, the church, right? I mean, and I believe that. I mean, the devil gets upset when we're doing what God would have us to do. God gets mad when you're doing what the devil's asking you to do. That's how that works. God wants you to do what he's asking you to do. The devil wants you to do what he's asking you to do. And so which one you choose? And so Jesus here was tempted just like you are. And he overcame it. How do you overcome it? Scripture. Knowing God's word. And praying. That's how we overcome all the obstacles and problems in our lives. And so Jesus, is turning to God. So we should turn to Jesus for strength to overcome not just sin in our lives. And so this morning, before we come to the table, you've got to realize that sin is real. We got to realize that the devil is real. And that's why God sent his son Jesus to help us overcome the devil and overcome the sin in our lives. How do we do that? Well, I believe hanging around good people, right? Your parents have told you that all the time. I mean, finding fellowship with one another, the family of God, not just the Baptist. It could be anybody else that knows Jesus as their Savior. So, you know, sticking together, helping people get through these problems, helping together to overcome the sin in our lives and to, you know, avoid temptation, and reading God's word. That's what Jesus did. It worked for him, right? He was able to overcome this because he knew Scripture and he obeyed it. And the devil used that same Scripture to tempt Jesus. But Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit and referring to Scripture and listening to God the Father, he overcomes that. And what happens? The devil left him. Sit down. So see, is that what you want? The devil said, "Oh, man, I can't touch this guy. Man, I can't touch that lady. She is all about her faith. He is all about Jesus. I could try, but it's not going to happen because I can really tell that God's got a hold of his life or God's got a hold of her life." Wow. And see, we are tempted just as Jesus was tempted. And so we think about life and things that we're dealing with. And what do? Keep coming to church, right? And knowing His Word and fellowshipping together. Give this opportunity today for us to fellowship together, be together as the family of God. And again, as Jesus quotes here, men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what he's listening to. Of course, back then he didn't have the actual Bible, but he's listening to what God has told him to do and doing what God has told him to do. That's what's happening here. And then he says, do not put the Lord God to the test. Well, we know that, right? I mean, we're being tested every day with what's happening in our world. Are we going to be able to overcome that? But trusting in Jesus and knowing His Word. And then, away from me, Satan, he says, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. See, that's what Jesus wants. That's what God wants. For us to worship Him only and to serve Him only. To put Him first. I believe that you have indicated that you are trying to put God first by being here this morning. Right? As we come to the table here, that's why Jesus did that. Jesus was tempted, but he was able to overcome that temptation and not sin because of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, listening to His Father, right? So therefore, later on in His journey, Jesus' journey, he's tempted, he overcomes that. But then he comes to the cross to die for our sins. Because we're human and we will sin, right? But God says He'll forgive us, right? And He'll still love us no matter what. I think that's something we all need to understand and help other people understand. I deal with people, talk with people, and pray with people. They just can't get past that. They don't think that God can love them. Or God won't love them anymore. Or you don't love them. Or the people around them don't love them. Well, that is a real critical problem that's happening in our schools today with children and young people. I see it all the time. I hear it all the time. That you feel like they're not loved. Not sure who's going to be at home when they get home. Or if anybody will be at home when they get home. Right? And so here's this Jesus who came to the earth. He was born. He lived. And he knew the problems that we would face. And so God sent his son Jesus to die for us this morning. That we would worship him and only him. That he would be first. Is he first this morning in your life? And so, removing the distractions of soup right now. Just focusing our attention on Him and realizing that Jesus lived as a human and faced the same things that we face. And because of Him living in us, we can overcome the temptation. We can avoid sin. We can certainly get past those mountains as they appear or appear to be in our lives. To worship Him and only Him. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your presence in our lives. And the reality is that we come this morning to worship and praise you. There are lots of things happening in the world in which we live that are troubling our hearts in many ways. And we certainly are concerned for the next generation and for our children. But God, as we come together and fellowship together, read your word, and understand the power of the Holy Spirit, and we understand how much you love us, that you sent your son Jesus, that you've already won. We have victory through our son Jesus, through your son Jesus, our Savior. We have victory. We've already won. So all you want us to do is to worship you and only you. Put you first. And say, away from me, Satan. Now, we just need to do that sometimes. Get away from me, Satan. I'm living for Jesus, and He's the Lord of my life. God, as we come to the table this morning, I pray if there's anyone that needs to make a decision of any kind, they would do that in their own heart. That's between them and you. But God, you want to share it and tell us about it. Share it with the world. So God, whatever we need to do this morning, I pray we do that before we drink of this cup and break of this bread. God, thank you for the opportunity to come to the table. Thank you for sending your son Jesus who died for us. God, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray.